There is something in a name for God. I said something last week to the effect that there is much too much falsehood and misinformation in the Christian religion, much too much. This is not safe and it is not spiritually healthy for humanity. It's not safe for us. It's not spiritually healthy because every encroachment of one more false doctrine poses danger to every one of us. That it is not safe for humanity spiritually. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, or rather chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, sort of touch on this. And what the inspired writer in this passage is doing is informing us that as detached as falsehood may appear, it poses danger to everyone. Let us hear the passage. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 3.
But there were false prophets also among the people.
There was false prophet. He's recapping from what he had said in the previous chapter, or the previous verses. So he said, continuing, he said, but. The but is making a connection to something he had previously said. But there were false prophets
among the people.
The people.
Even as there shall be false teachers among you.
He said, but false prophet no finish. It's not like they are done for. He said, to the people to whom he was writing, there will be false prophet among you also. So I'm encouraging them to be mindful of that. Read on.
Who privily shall bring in...
Privately. They're not going to come and make advertisement that they are false. In fact, some of them don't even recognize or acknowledge that they are false. So he said, they will privily
Damnable heresies.
What type of heresies?
Damnable.
Wait. That means heresies relates to division, religious division and religious falsehood, heresy. But notice he qualifies it. It is damnable. You know what that means? That means it's going to damn the soul of men and women to hell. Amen. So don't move. Religious falsehood is not innocent. As it may look, the Almighty God does not take kindly to any of us who may add or take away from what he says. Damnable, here he said. Read on.
Even denying the Lord.
Some of them going to go as far as denying Jesus Christ. And that takes many forms. Read on.
Even denying the Lord that bought them.
Mm-hmm.
And bring upon themselves.
Here again. He is telling the danger in religious falsehood. Once you take away anything from the gospel, or add something. Let me just throw something here, because a lot of time we are talking. When the Almighty God says that baptism is a burial, and I, as a church leader, or some other church leader, or some other member tells you that No, you can sprinkle little water on your head and that's a burial, or that's baptism. That is damnable heresies. You get the point? We are not supposed to add or take anything from the gospel of Christ. So as he spoke, he reached the point where he's going to revisit the same danger that he has just stated. Read.
And bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Swift destruction. You notice that in so many cases, the Almighty God gives us he is patient with us. Huh? And all of us need God's patience. That's right. As a child of God, never think that you do not need God's patience. But you see, brothers and sisters, what this passage is telling us, that there are some things that God is not patient with. And this is telling us the danger in falsehood. What verse is that?
The end of verse 1.
Read on.
And shall follow their pernicious ways.
They shall follow their ungodly, immoral ways. Read on.
By reason of whom the way of truth shall evil be spoken of.
You get the point? When men and women turn to falsehood, the truth is criticized. The way of truth shall the evil be spoken of. Amen. The Bible teaches many places plainly, Christ built one true church. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the same way there are many false gods among the one true God, there are many false Christs, but one true Christ. The Bible tells us that there is one true church among the many so-called churches. So if I come and tell you that Jesus Christ built one true church, and I can take you to the Bible for you to read it for yourself, when you walk away criticizing, you are only permitting this passage to be fulfilled in you. Because of falsehood, the truth of the gospel will be spoken of in a negative way. Read on, brother.
And through covetousness.
Through covetousness.
Shall they with feigned words make merchandise.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, where covetousness comes in here? You see, it's greed. It's when men and women will say anything, do anything, show all the disregard for God's word because of material, egotistical ambition, covetousness. They want more. But it's not that they want more religion or more of Christ or more of the truth. They want more of the worldly things, so they will lie to heap to themselves disciples and get what they want to get from them. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Material things have that sway on us. And here it is telling you that for greed, men and women will speak anything. Many religious denominations came about because of human ego, ambition, to achieve not for Christ what Christ wants, but for themselves. What they want. What is the point? Read on, brother. What verse is that?
Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
You see, we have just had months ago what happened in St. James with this church where they were sacrificing human beings. You see, you can become a merchandise. You can become a source of getting a person the material things which he or she wants. And that's what verse 3 is addressing there. That there is a motive, there is a reason behind false doctrine. It's not that men want to please God. It's that they want to achieve their own material objectives. So God does not take kindly to religious falsehood. One such falsehood we hear and have been hearing is that there is nothing in a name. That's a common falsehood. I ask, for whom is there nothing in a name? For whom? For you or for God? You see, the Almighty God tells us that for him, there is much in a name. I probably need to repeat that. For God, and God tells us that for him, the Almighty God, there is much in a name. For God and in God's scheme are things. Let us just run over a few passages. We're just going to have them read because either in this lesson or when we pick up next, we will comment in more detail on these passages, many of which you well know what they say. Let us hear the passage. Just to confirm the fact that the Almighty God speaks on the subject of name. And that for him, name means a lot. May I? Name in biblical time, in the ancient world, was not like used like name is used now. The one of the main purposes of name now is to should I say, identify, distinguish. That's one of the main purpose of name now. It not go more than so. But in biblical time, name was meant to give information. That's right. The name Christian was meant to give almost the same information that when you say that's a tailor, that's a dressmaker, you are giving information about what that person does. That's the way the name Christian was used. It was not a subjective thing. You were not praising the person when you said the person was a Christian. You were not necessarily criticizing. You were just giving some information. That man is a Christian means he is a follower of Christ. That man is a tailor. That woman is a dressmaker or a beautician. You are not criticizing or praising. You are just giving information. That's the way name was largely used in biblical time in the ancient world. So as I've said, the Almighty God has shown that he has great interest in a name. Did I say the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 and verse 12? Let us hear it.
Neither is there salvation
in neither is there salvation
in any other.
In any other.
For there is none other name.
What, brother?
There is none other name.
Not what, brother?
There is none other name.
You're sure the word N-A-M-E is there?
None other name.
Everybody hear that? The Bible says there is none other
name under heaven.
Under heaven.
Given among men.
Given among, wait. Name. But people said there's nothing in a name. Well, not even for you who keep saying that. Are you telling the truth? As I've pointed out last week. Because as I've said, if I start calling you Judas if you are a man, or if I start calling you Jezebel if you are a lady, that's right. If I start calling you Satan, you see, the people who said there is nothing in a name, they are not sincere. They are just trying to find escape from the foolishness that they believe. God is telling us in this passage that name is important, for there is no other name given under heaven,
given among men,
whereby
we must be saved.
I'll be speaking more on this passage. So let me leave it alone for now. We came here to, in case you didn't know, to show that for God, name is important and significant. Look at the passage of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 that was read this morning, a while ago. Let us hear the passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Wherefore,
God also hath highly exalted him and given him a
name. The God has highly exalted Jesus Christ
and given him a name.
He did not only exalt him, but God going to take interest in that exaltation by giving him a name that is comparable to the exaltation given to him. And give him a what, brother?
A name.
A what?
A name, which is above every name.
Wait. There is something in a name. Because here the Almighty God, through his revelation, is telling us that he gives a name that is above
every name.
Somebody didn't hear that. This is God's revelation that the brother is reading. God has given him a name, and that name is above every
name.
Read that now.
That at the name of Jesus,
at the name of Jesus,
every knee should bow.
You notice this about the second time or the third time name. You see, the passage is dealing with the position of Christ, the high position of Christ, and the Almighty God going to make sure that not only Christ's work, but Christ's name demonstrate the exaltation of Christ. So, read, brother.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Every knee shall bow.
Of things in heaven and things on earth.
Every man, every woman one day going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and God. But let me share a secret with you. Let me share a secret with you, Christian. Because you have acknowledged him for who he is, when you submit your life to Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, that acknowledgement and judgment day will not be a terrifying thing. It will not be a trembling thing. It will be a thing of joy. But for men and women who live 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 45, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years and never turn their lives to Christ, even though they have heard about him over and over, it will be a terrible thing when you have to be forced. When you have to be forced. It's not that God going to come and hold your mouth for you to say no. You are going to acknowledge that Jesus was in fact the Christ. And you'll have to confess him. But you see, that confession will not be of help to you then. It is of help to you now when you acknowledge Jesus Christ for who he is. They shall do what, brother?
Every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven.
Things in heaven.
And things in earth.
Things in earth.
And things under the earth.
And things under the earth.
And that every tongue.
Every tongue.
Should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
To the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Father.
Everybody gets that? You know, when verse 9 says that God has given him a name that is above every name, let me just drop by here. You know, that name is the compound title or name that is given, and that is that's the compound name, and if somebody remind me over the next few days or weeks or months to have a lesson, it might be a Sunday night lesson, to just show it's not just the name Lord or the name Jesus or the name Christ. It's the compound name, because this includes all the authority. Take the word Lord, and really it comes from the Old Testament Jehovah, that in our English, King James rather, it's spelled wherever you see Lord in the Old Testament, in the King James, spelled with all capital, it is the word Jehovah. Other places, Adonai is also spelled Lord, but only the first letter is capital. Where all the letters are capital, it is the word Jehovah. So in a lesson or a discussion, when the Bible talks about that God has given him a name that is above every name, it is the compound, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christ's name, that's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that in another lesson. You have read verse 11.
Yes.
Okay, wait. So you notice that in this passage, the emphasis is on Christ's exaltation and that even in his name, the Almighty God wants to show that. How can we say there's nothing in a name when you read passages like this? Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Let us hear it.
Being made so much better,
mm-hmm,
than the angels.
Watch here now, that Jesus Christ is made so much. Wait, Christian, you must write down these passages. There's usually, I keep pointing out that at the back of your Bible, the front of your Bible, there are some empty sheets. Things, the truth that are important to you. Because you see, God expects you to share the truth. God expects each one of us as his children to learn in our big or small way to lead others to him. By opening the mind, the understanding of others to know God's truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yes, did I say Hebrews chapter
1 and verse 4.
1 and verse 4.
Being made so much better than the angels.
That is Jesus Christ, so much better than the angel.
As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name.
Wait. I gotta speak there, you know. That's God's revelation. He inspired his writer to write and tell us this. That's the third passage we are looking at. That God is telling us that there is something in a name. Because even the name that Jesus Christ was given shows that he is superior to angel. Brothers and sisters, let us take up another stage in this study. Throughout all the history, the entire history of God dealing with men, God has shown time and again that for him and in God's scheme of things, there is much in a name. What have I just said? That throughout all the entire history that God has been dealing with man, the Almighty God has shown that for him and in God's scheme of things, there is something in a name. May I? We're going to show about 2 to 4 ways in which God did this. First, God got directly involved in assigning names. Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. Thank you for asking. But at the first time, listen so that you don't have to ask me again to repeat. I've said that God has shown throughout the time he has been dealing with humanity that for him there is something in a name. And one of the ways that God has shown that is that God, the Almighty God, got directly involved in assigning name, in stipulating what the name of that little child should be. Brother Mitchell, God get involved in them petty things. For God, it's not petty. But even for us parents, it's not petty. That's right. Yes, let's get back to the... Yes. So let us look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. That's one of the passages. And then the same Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. Let us hear Isaiah 7, verse 14. We are looking now on how the Almighty God is telling us that for him and in his God scheme of things, name is important. Because God got involved, directly involved, in assigning name to different people. Let us hear the passage.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel.
The passage is saying God is telling them His name shall be Emmanuel. This is talk about Jesus Christ. In other words, the Almighty God didn't just leave it up to Joseph and Mary. When Jesus Christ born, the Almighty God had already indicated some 600 years before Christ was born, 600-700 years, Isaiah, the Almighty God was telling what his name should be. 8, verse 3, same Isaiah.
And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived.
I went unto the prophetess, and?
And she conceived.
And she conceived.
And bare a son.
And bare a son.
Then said the Lord to me.
Then said the Lord to me.
Call his name Mahashalahastaba.
Okay. You know, only God can call that name, brother. You better learn to call it. Don't tell God that it's too long and it's too difficult to pronounce God. No. If God said name the child this, that's what the child is to be named. So here we have the Almighty God assigning name to different children. But look at one or two more. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. Three verses in this one chapter of Hosea. Chapter 1, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. Let us hear it.
And the Lord said unto him.
And the Lord said unto him.
Call his name Jezreel.
Who said it?
The Lord.
The Lord. And people said there's nothing in a name. When you hear people say that, you tell them, Miss Jane, Mr. John, you need to spend a little more time studying God's word. Because they are speaking from the point of view of ignorance. They don't know. And God wants us to enlighten them. Are we in Isaiah? Chapter 1, did I say verse 4, which has just been read?
Yes.
Read it again.
And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel.
Call, who asked that? That the name be used?
The Lord.
God. That's right.
Said unto him.
That was verse 4.
Yes.
Verse 6 now.
And she conceived again.
And she conceived again a second child.
And bare a daughter. And God said unto
him. Wait. I thought God now would give them the privilege to name their own picnic. But God take over the naming, because if you will read the entire chapter, you will notice that God had a reason for naming these three children. There was meaning behind the name given to them. Talk about nothing in a name. Verse 6, brother.
And she conceived again. And bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her Loruma.
You hear that? Okay, what you're saying? When you have your daughter, you're going to name her. What the name, brother?
Loruhama.
Laruma, whatever. Well, you can name her that. That's right. God won't have any problem with you. What God would have problem with is this mother. Had she gone ahead and named the child differently? Talk about there's nothing in a name. But verse 9 also.
Then said God, call his name Lo Amai.
Who am I?
Lo Amai.
Okay. Okay. I like that funny name God gives. Oh my God. How can you know, brothers and sisters? The business about there's nothing in a name. For whom is there nothing in a name? Not for God. Because all these passages that we are reading, it tells us that there's something in a name. Should we go to a New Testament passage or two? Let us run to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Matthew 1, 20, 21.
But while he thought on these things,
while he thought, he was turning over in his mind these things,
behold, the angel of the Lord,
that's a messenger sent by God,
appeared unto him in a dream, saying,
saying,
Joseph,
Joseph,
thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife.
Uh-huh.
For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And she shall bring forth a son.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Everybody hear that? That's from God. God is telling us that for him and in his scheme of things, name is important. Because name gives information. One more passage along that line. Luke chapter 1, verse 13.
But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard.
Don't be afraid. You have been praying to God for something. And God heard your prayer.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And thy wife, Elizabeth.
Your wife, Elizabeth.
Shall bear thee a son.
Shall give birth to a boy.
And thou shalt call his name.
You know, you wonder why God get involved in. Leave it up to the parents to do that. No, God has had a reason. That's right. Name was not just so. And as we're going to see, even may I let me jump ahead of myself because I may not even get to it. You see this business when we go about calling ourselves Roman Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist. That is an encroachment in God's business and God's scheme of things. But most likely, more will be said about that. So read, brother, that was verse 20.
Verse 13, and thou shalt call his name John.
And thou shalt call his name John. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 30. John the Baptist was named by God. God is telling us that name is important to him. That's why he didn't leave it up to his parents. These divine involvement, these involvement by God tell us that there is something in a name. What we have been doing is God's direct involvement in assigning name. That is telling what an oncoming child should be called. But the Almighty God got involved in another way too. Watch here now. God got involved, directly involved in altering or modifying people's name. That's right. Wait, you get it? That means name that was given to that child, boy or girl, by the parents or family member, the Almighty God came along and says, I want you to call him or her this. Do I have enough time to spend just a little time on this? Thank you, brother. One brother say, I have enough time. That's right. Remember what we have just looked on. That God was directly involved in assigning name, giving name. Now what we are looking at is that God got directly involved in modifying or altering, changing a person's name. And you tell me about nothing in a name. Look now at Genesis 17, verse 5 and verse 15. Genesis 17, verse 5 and verse 15.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram.
Wait. But God, I'm a big man. Look from when them call me that. At this late stage, you're going to change my name, God? Yes. God wants that name changed. Because remember what I told you, that in biblical times, name was meant, among other things, not just to distinguish, but to give information. Read again, brother.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram.
But thy name shall be Abraham.
Thy name shall be Abraham.
For a father of many nations have I made thee.
You see, that's what that last name means. Father of many. So don't tell God that nothing is in a name. That was verse 5.
Yeah.
Verse 15.
And God said unto Abraham.
Again.
As for Sarah.
Thy wife.
Thou shalt not call her name.
Wait. Here is a big grown woman. And God, the Almighty God, got involved in changing her name, not only the husband, Abraham, but Sarah. I like how God gave both of them name that was close to the previous name. But the previous name did not carry the same meaning and connotation that the name God gave carry. Name is important for God and in God's scheme of things. That was Genesis chapter 32.
Chapter 17, verse 15.
Let us look now at chapter 32, same Genesis. Verse 24 through 28.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man,
the man is an angel.
With him until the breaking of day.
The wrestling between Jacob and the angel was going on for some time. And it was night.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him.
When the angel saw the determination of Jacob.
He touched the hollow of his thigh.
When the angel saw that Jacob was so determined that the jostle between the two of them continued until the break of day. Read on.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh.
The angel knew the tender spot and touched Jacob there.
Was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go.
The angel said, let me go.
For the day breaketh. And he said.
And Jacob, he said, it's easy to get them mixed up, but this is talk about the angel saying to Jacob, let me go. And then Jacob responded.
I will not let thee go.
Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go.
Except thou bless me.
Wait. Some men and women know the value of a blessing. You see, Jacob, it seems surmised that he was dealing with a heavenly messenger. And he felt that he wanted a blessing from this heavenly messenger. It is very important when we understand the value and the importance of God's blessing. And when we will do whatever it takes in keeping with God's will to get that blessing. That's the situation in which Jacob was at this time. I will not let thee go until thou hast blessed me. Read on.
And he said unto him, What is thy name?
Wait. What my name have to do with the blessing when me I beg you for? Jacob said, I will not let you go, referring, speaking to the angel, until you have blessed me. The angel talking about, what is your name? What that have to do with anything? It has everything. Because we are dealing with God's scheme of things. Where name is important. The angel said, what, brother?
What is thy name?
What is your name?
And he said, Jacob.
And that name Jacob mean a Jamaican. A brain worker. That's right. A subplanter. That's what the name Jacob means. A subplanter. One who work brain to have their way with you. To get away. Take away what you have and yes. My name is Jacob. So wait. The Almighty God is already surmised that if I'm going to use this man, not only his name, or rather, not only his nature must change, but his name must change to conform with the new nature. What is your name, Jacob? Read.
And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob.
The angel said, your name shall no more as of now be called Jacob.
But Israel,
that is a prince of God. Wait. We are coming down today. It's very striking. You notice, brothers and sisters, you notice, oh Lord of mercy. Oh Lord, time. You notice that in this Israel, the Almighty God, watch me now, the Almighty God is about to choose out of this man a nation to preserve his name. They would be the one to be called God's people of all the dozens or hundreds of nations. But watch here. This word, this syllable is God. El. So every time you call Jacob's name, you call God, every time. So God had prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1 and 2 that he's going to give his people a new name. Every time you talk, you say Christian, you're calling Christ. Every time. Should we get back to the passage of Genesis chapter 32? Where were you?
28.
What verse?
28.
28. Read, brother.
And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men.
As a prince, that is, as a prince of God, you will have power with God and with man. That's what the name Israel means. In another country, people say, it's a so. And so is the name Christian. No so, when you talk about nothing in a name. May I take time off and just see if I can look at one more passage? There are many more, but let us look at one more passage. And the lesson will be yours. Sorry that. Anyway, let us look at it. Let us turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. verse 24 through 25. Let us hear it.
And David comforted Bathsheba his wife,
mm-hmm.
and went in unto her,
mm-hmm.
and lay with her,
mm-hmm.
and she bare a son.
Watch it now, watch it now, watch it now. Where the business of comforting Bathsheba his wife comes in. Because this whole relationship between David and Bathsheba grew out of a messy, sinful, wicked situation. That's right. It was a terrible, messy, ungodly, sinful situation that David got himself mixed up in. But so there was a child that came forth from David's adultery, and God take that child died. Now, Bathsheba's husband, while he was killed in war, the Almighty God blamed David for his death, and rightly so. After her husband was killed, put into the forefront of the battle, and was killed by the enemy soldier, and God punished David, David and Bathsheba got married and become wife and husband. So let's read again, brother.
And David comforted Bathsheba his wife,
mm-hmm.
and went in unto her and lay with her,
mm-hmm.
and she bare a son.
She bare a son.
And he called his name Solomon. And the
Wait. That is, David called this son, which came about with Bathsheba, of course she was now his wife, call him Solomon. That's this name David gave. Read on, brother.
And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet.
Wait. Read that little part again.
And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet. And he called his name Jedidiah. Of the Lord.
Wait. You need to get this. It was the Almighty God who sent the prophet. That's right. Read that again, brother.
And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet.
That is God going to get involved in Solomon's name. David called him Solomon. But when God sent Nathan the prophet, what the name was?
He called his name Jedidiah.
Jedidiah. Read on.
Because of the Lord.
Because of the Lord. That name was given because of the Lord. My question, why God are getting involved in this messy situation? Read a little more there.
And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon.
Wait, there's something that I've heard, unless your Bible is different from mine.
Because of the Lord.
24 through 25.
And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and called his name Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord loved him.
So why you didn't leave out that love him from your brother? Yeah, I know that I read that in my Bible. And the Lord loved him. But my brother, God, you forget the messy situation out of which this marriage came. God loved Solomon and gave him the name, is it Jedidiah?
Jedidiah.
That's right. Who says there's nothing in a name? Because all this is telling us that for God and in God's scheme of things, there is something in a name. Remember, Solomon, with the exception of Jesus Christ, is the wisest mortal ever walked this earth. God is telling us that not only for him, but in his scheme of things, there is something in a name. There are some other passages, but we will not we'll have to take up these next week, God's willing. My hope today is that the Christian will mark down some of these passages to be mindful of them. And there are some other important passages. You know, the Bible, watch here, that coming. The Bible talks about that word in name by which you are called. What is that word in name? The Bible talks about that we must not suffer as evil. But if any man suffer as a what? Christian. We will talk more about these next week. So when you hear people speaking ignorance, please, if you can get them one side and show them, no, there is something in a name in God's scheme of things. The very name Jesus Christ, receive. The Lord Jesus Christ is above every name that has ever been named in heaven or on earth. If we are going to be saved, we are going to be saved in one name. When we come next week, you are going to learn that that name is not Baptist. It's not Seventh-day Adventist, it's not Methodist, it's not Pentecostal. There is one name in which we are going to be saved. If you are here today and if you are not a child of God, and if you are listening, you must have learned something. If you'd like to become a Christian God's way, calling Bible things, Bible name, and conforming to the gospel of Christ, we are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you once you meet the condition that he has set for the forgiveness of your sins.